I hope you're inspired to really go after the community outreach we're trying to do, because that's how we're going to help the community. Amen. We've got to get into this community and really reach out to them. I think you see how that works there. If we do that well, we can really help a lot of people to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. As well, just want to remind us that we're still doing missions for Zambia. So be planning on that. Pray about that so that God can walk with that. And we hope that we can raise enough funds just to really give as much as we can to Zambia, and even want to eventually help out to Haiti. You understand that? Because we have brothers that left this congregation and went there. So there's a lot we can do, but it all depends on our generosity. Amen? So just have that in mind as we walk through that. Then one disclaimer, the training is not on the 21st, because 21st will be in house church, right? It'll be the following weekend, which is, I believe, the 28th. It'll be the 28th when we do the training for the family group teachers. So just remember that about the training for teachers. Happy Valentine's Day. Amen. See a lot of people in red. So it's a special day for Danny and Janice Emmett. This is their 36th anniversary today. They chose the best day to get married, I guess. Yeah, so congratulations. Let's talk about something that we're covering. During the midweeks, we're covering relationship building, and during Sundays, we talk about evangelism and understanding the changing trends around us. Amen? So let's talk about how to build deep relationships, hiding from love. Is that possible? Is it possible that you're hiding from love? It's everywhere, but you hide from it. Yeah, you just don't want to get it. And when I talk about love, let's get this right. It's not the butterflies in your tummy and shaking legs and all that stuff. It's 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, love is not easily angered. You don't have to know it verbatim, but you can go read it, okay? Figure it out, because a lot of people confuse love for very many things. What people feel for the first time they see someone is infatuation. It's not really, it doesn't last for 10 years. It will take you 2 years at most, and after that, life may play on you a little bit. So you need to get that right. So let's talk about hiding from love. Proverbs 17, 10 to 11 says, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. If people are eager for rebellion, but evil people are eager for rebellion, but they will be severely punished. I want to stay with number 10, verse 10. It talks about understanding. It's important to understand things. If you don't, the Bible talks about you being a fool. Doing something that doesn't work is foolish. It's not lack of intelligence. Foolish is doing stuff that doesn't work for you and you keep doing it anyway. That's foolish. It's not lack of intelligence. You can have a very intelligent person doing foolish things. Do we get that? You can be very intelligent doing foolish things. So let's get that down. So we talk about this, you don't think, well, what are you talking about? Yeah, that happens to people doing things that don't really count. So let's talk about hiding from love. Let's see. Well, it's not moving. Hiding from love, hiding from the, okay, here we go. I thought it was hiding from the stick or from, okay, hiding from love, we've talked about that. Let's talk about this one. Matthew 25, 24 to 30. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, Why did you deposit? Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. The servant is upset with the master. The master being God, the servant being us. Very angry, you're this, you're that. I knew you were a harsh man. But before he says that, he says, I was afraid, verse 25. The driving motive there is what? Fear. So afraid that he couldn't be vulnerable to God and connect with God. You can be so afraid that you never find God. You're afraid to be real with God. And so he says, you know what? Because of that, I hid your stuff. The guy says, you're lazy. Why didn't you just put that in a bank and we could have some interest? And then in verse 24 here, it says, then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they have are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant out, darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's go back here. The servant's behavior basically doesn't allow him to connect with God because of fear. And because of that fear, he goes overboard to dig and put it down. And so what is the servant doing? He's hating the messenger. How does he hate the messenger? How does the servant hate the messenger? That's the question. How does he hate the messenger? Yes. Exactly. He's making an assumption. This messenger must be harsh, must be cruel. So he just hates him. In other words, the real issue is fear. But because I cannot deal with fear, I'll turn around and just make assumptions and attack the messenger. You're harsh, you're cruel, and that's it. And in the story, if you know the parable of the story, God is the master and the servant is ours. You follow that? So we miss out on God because we make assumptions on God. God must be doing this. This is going on because God is doing this without interrogating our position with God. And then he says, why didn't you just put it in the account and you get some interest? And then he turns around and says, well, here's what belongs to you. And really, that fear creates laziness. And so he doesn't experience God. And so what's the point? Hating the messenger and rationalizing. Sometimes you're hiding from love by hating what God says sometimes. You don't like how he challenges you on those things, or the people that are trying to give you love in the congregation, and you rationalize why those people are a problem. If someone says, hi, how are you? Why are you asking me how are you? Where are you? Why are you asking me where are you? You hate the messenger. You rationalize it. Why are they texting me? Why are they calling me? Why is this group up me? I don't like this business. And we get into all that business and start hating the messenger. And I bring some of that message. So sometimes like, why is he talking about that? Well, the Spirit sometimes lays it on me to just say what I got to say. And you know what? You can hit me as hard as you can, but deal with God. Because some of that stuff, I don't plan. I'm going to say it like this. It comes. I couldn't stop it. If I did, I wouldn't just do the job. But the point I'm trying to say is that, is it possible that there are people in your life that you hate because they call you to love? That you rationalize and you've really found a way to put them down like he was doing. That you got people that call you to love, but you hate that idea. And you come up to them, you rationalize, you put them down, you assume their character, and you get into that business of talking to yourself, and you always win that argument. Because, you know, you're the judge, and you're the jury. You're an investigating officer, and you are everything. Eventually, you put them in jail. Let's talk about the other way we run away from love. Why are you hiding from love? We minimize and blame. 1 Samuel 15, 31. And the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight. But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, plunder, to sacrifice to the Lord, your God in Gilgal. Let me see where I am there. But someone replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice? And that's a question to us. What's more important? That I've sacrificed to be here for a long time, that I've been a Christian doing this and I'm doing that, or hearing his voice? What is more important? Because sometimes we get to that place. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes we feel like, I've done so much. Well, no. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. I want you to note that. As sinful as witchcraft. And stubborn is as bad as worshiping idols. Notice that these two things come back to an idol right there. That we create our own idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. What was going on? Minimization and blame. That he said, listen, I went. What are you talking about? I went. I did something. What are you talking about? I went to that place. No, it's not me. It's the soldiers that took that stuff and brought it. It says, no. You were supposed to destroy everything. I have a question. What's going on in your life that you minimize and blame the world? Blame society. Blame everybody. You don't realize that God is bigger than the world. God is bigger than society. God is bigger than anything the world can throw at you. But you can sit there and say, but God, I am a Christian and I've tried. But you don't understand. He says, you need to submit and you need to obey and hear my voice. What sins are we holding on? How are we running away from the love of God this way? You know, I don't have to talk to you regularly. You're minimizing the need of fellowship. I don't have to get in the Word of God. You're minimizing the need of getting in the Word of God. I don't have to talk to him about God. You're minimizing when the voice says, you know, you may need to tell this guy about God or this woman there. We can minimize and just blame. That this is happening to me because they said this to me. That's how you run away from love. You're hiding from the love of God. What is your excuse of not hearing God's voice? You're blaming and minimizing. You know, I have a rule in my life. When I'm blaming too much, I'm not taking responsibility for what I'm supposed to be doing. Because the truth of the matter is that I cannot change anybody else. But at least I can hear God's voice. And today is Valentine, so amen. Well, are you blaming your husband or your spouse or your wife? Maybe they didn't bring flowers. They didn't bring cards. What kind of a man is this? What's going on? Are you blaming the brothers in the church? They didn't even ask us out. The sisters, are we blaming the sisters? The sisters, what's going on here? What's wrong with this church? We don't do nothing. We blame and then take the responsibility. And I hope I'm not putting fire in anyone's marriage. Don't blame. Don't blame. Take initiative. Make it great. Suggest something. We can go out today. It's too late, but we can go out in 2 weeks' time. How about that? We can have our Valentine 2 weeks later. If you go out today, you'll not find any space. I can tell you that. Or you went already, you already done it. But I'm just saying, we may be we fight over issues and minimize them and then blame each other. That puts us away from love. And I think sometimes relationships can have this dynamic of minimizing and blaming. Minimizing and blaming. And you live in that tension forever. Just take responsibility and say, what needs to happen for the place to be different? Amen. That's all we got to do. take responsibility and say, okay, we're going to have a different life together. And that's true about church. And that's true about sin. Stop minimizing it. Stop blaming and take responsibility of repentance. Amen? Just do that one thing that you will not blame. When I get in the discussion mode with my wife, I know, I'm trying to make this stick on her side. I need to stop right now and just focus on what I can change. That's me. So we all do it from time to time. Is that true? Do we do it sometimes? This is good news. This is not bad news. I hope you're not feeling bad about this stuff. This is good news, man. We're talking about how to beat the devil's traps. You know that? Yes. Don't be sad. Be happy we're talking about this stuff. Okay. Let's talk about the next thing. Acts 15:1-12. But there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit. You kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. So let's talk about this. They did the right thing, but the motive was wrong. If you do the right thing with the wrong motive, then the whole thing is wrong. We've got to rise to the standards of what God calls us to. God is wanting our hearts. It's not just giving money. Yeah, I'm glad we give money to church. I really appreciate that. But we've got to give our hearts and ourselves to it. It's not just good enough to give money. You got to give yourself to the serving, to helping people, and all kinds of things. And now he says, but what's happening is there's deceit going on and there's denial. What do I mean? Look at this. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, Was this the prize you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied. That was the prize. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. What's going on? Why do you think there's denial and deceit in this issue? Why do you think there's denial and deceit in this issue? Yes. It was an image thing. Church, we lose generations when we become an image church. We got to get the real business of it. We'll become, our children know who we are. The neighborhood knows who we are. As real as we get, that's when we start to impact them. It's not saying I go to church. You can say that all you want, but they know who you are. There's deceit and denial. And that's how you avoid love. Could it be that you're deceitful somewhere with yourself? There's no congruence of this needs to change, this needs to be different. That congruence is lacking in your walk with God. Could it be that there's denial? So you avoid love from God when you live like that. And there's a question there. We can do the right thing, but with the wrong motive, it makes it wrong. So when I say let's touch community and help people to know God, it's not for us to look good. It's to glorify God. It's not for us to look good. When I say it's important that you really are motivated by the cross, and not that I talked about it so you jump out. No, it's that when you are like that, people can sense that you're the real deal. Versus a guy who talks a good talk and goes nowhere. The state of being, that I can experience you differently. I say, no, even though this guy is different. And the point I'm trying to make is that this is something we have to develop, cultivate, to experience love. So if there is deceit, if you're filling things with someone and you don't talk through it and you just keep going, it can create issues for you long term. You can be in denial of that issue. We've got to deal with these things. Does that make sense? And it's important for you to ask yourself, what is it that's holding you back from experiencing the love of God? For them was image that stopped them. The image looked like. They were not just vulnerable and dealing with stuff. And you read that book, Safe People, it talks about the need for these good relationships and really being open and talking about stuff. And sometimes we are so socialized to keep up the image and not knowing who we are. The more you deal with who you are, the more you experience the love of God and the love of other people. When you haven't dealt with that, you can't give because your cup is empty. You can't pour anything out. Until the cup has been dealt with properly, then you can give out. So think for a moment. In this world of developing deep relationships, are you in denial or in deceit? And walk through that. That's good news. That's not bad news. Because you can figure it out now, right? That's good news. I know I'm diving, but this is good news. Now you can fix it. Amen? Now you know. Don't be depressed. See, thank God. Now I know what to do with this stuff. There's no need to be depressed about this stuff. This is good news. When you go depressed, you're feeling sorry for yourself. No, go indignation, alarm, concern. What? I need to deal with this stuff properly. Amen. What about projection? Let's talk about that. What is projection? Let's talk about that for a moment before I read the scriptures. Talk to me, please. Yes, Steve. I mean, Peter.
Whoever I am. You're projecting.
Steve. Yes.
You thought I was Steve. So.
Now we're talking. I call him Steve. I was projecting myself to him.
But it's seeing the characteristics you have in your own life in another person. I'm familiar with that. I think I'm feeling my greed, so I'm accusing you of greed. I'm feeling my temptation, so I'm accusing you of that.
Right? You see that? I'm feeling my greed. I'm accusing you of greed. I'm feeling my temptation. I'm accusing you of that. When we do that, what happens? The congregation goes down the wrong direction, right? Family groups go down the wrong direction. Families go in the wrong direction. So Matthew 7:3-5 says, and why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your own eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. I think church has to stop projecting. The church has to stop projecting to the world. The world is this, the world is that. Let's deal with ourselves. It's not our business to be telling the world where it's wrong. We're in the kingdom. Our business is to help them to get to heaven, right? If we do that and love them to show them who God is, that's easy to do. But you cannot do if you're not clear with where you stand. You will have problems telling the world about God because they just feel like, you seem very angry. No, deal with the log in your eye, then you can tell the world, here's Jesus now. Does that make sense? But is it possible that you're projecting in relationships right now? In the one another relationships? That you accuse the person of what your real issues are? Are you projecting to your spouse? It's quiet in this place. It's good news. It's good news. It's not bad news I'm talking about, people. You'll leave this place ready to go build great friendships. Yes, Kyle? Projection? Peter, can you speak up loudly again? Loudly. He has to hear you because you had a very good expression. If you want to stand up and look at them that direction.
I have to project while I speak. That's a different kind of projection. So projection is seeing in others the faults you're feeling in yourself. Right? So I'm feeling like if I know that I've got challenges with greed, I start seeing greed in your motivation. Might really be there, might not be there, but I'm projecting it into you. If I struggle with objectifying women, and you look at a woman who's walking by, I'm assuming your thoughts are mine, so I accuse you of that. Wow. Yeah. So I'm projecting my problems onto you. Wow. Yeah. Doesn't make it wrong, just doesn't make it right.
We get it? And when this is good news. Good news. That's good news. When we do that in church, we start tripping each other and putting each other down. And say, I just look at Victor and say, Victor, I don't think you like me. Well, maybe I don't like Victor. But I'm playing that on Victor. Now, Victor and I hang out pretty enough. You can get in between us. You can throw that. But we'll be good. We'll see each other later and talk about this business. So this is stuff that is very prevalent. And a lot of people, because they're not digging to connect with God, they're hiding from love because of this. They project. So you can never get close enough because when you do, they project. Oh, you're doing this. So you're always at this arm's length. And you're never going to connect well because you're doing these things. And I'm saying this is good news because we're going to develop these deep relationships. But as we talk about it, we got to get right ourselves so that we are, the body of Christ is us. And then it does something good happens. Okay, we got 5 minutes. Let's see how far we can go with this. Got solutions. I got some solutions. I know I was hammering trouble, but let's talk about solutions. Let's see how far we can go. Got solutions. No one will manufacture a lock without a key. Similarly, God won't give a problem without a solution. Everything we say, there's a solution. The Bible has a solution to these things. You just have to learn to look for the solutions. Whether it's helping people to know God, whatever it is, whatever it's your life, your issues, there is a solution to that. So Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Every issue we've talked about, you can overcome spiritually speaking and be loved and connect with people. Is that a fact?
Yes.
Is that true? Some of you are just looking at, what is he talking about? It's good news. Is it true?
Yes.
We can fix this stuff, right? Okay. Grace, love, and truth. How do you fix these things? 1 Peter 4:8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Let's get this right. We've got to talk about the truth. But when we say the truth, it doesn't need to be mean with our own issues. It needs to be about God. Amen? And if we're going to do that, then we have to have love and grace. So some of us get afraid. Are we switching towards grace? No. We're doing love, truth, and grace. Does that make sense? You got to do everything. If you do one thing, it is one thing only, there's going to be a problem. We got to do all the three. That's the solution to this stuff. Does that make sense? You do that. The fact that it says, most importantly of all, continue to love, show deep love for each other, it simply means that church is not perfect. There'll be issues. But if you don't have deep love for each other, you will not manage it. Because we're all sinners. Just in case you forgot, we're all sinners, myself included. So we're going to have some issues. But when you have deep love, we can walk through these things. Does that make sense? And never pay back evil for evil. We got to conduct ourselves differently. Maturity. Let's talk about this. Church, we've got to get to this mature space. But if you're not dealing with all the issues I talked about earlier, you can't come to this mature space. A mature space is not, let me read James 1:26. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. We should not entertain gossip and slander. And we should not entertain just saying things for the sake of saying it. Think through before you do that. Then it says here, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. So if you're going to talk to someone about things, make sure you're speaking from a position of not hurt and anger, but of maturity. Well, I rebuked him. But for the most part, you are angry with your own issues and you just projected it. The word rebuke is facing the situation. I can look at Peter and say, you know, Peter, you have a red shirt. Why are you doing that on a Valentine's Day? But I'm facing the situation. It is stating clearly and firmly, but not angrily. Does that make sense? But very firmly, but not angrily. Because that's what gets the spinning, that you told me this, but I feel, why do I feel so many things? We can be firm, but not necessarily angry. Okay, and not hurt. When you carry hurt, you hurt other people. So deal with your hurt as well. Don't bring it to the system. And that is why we need one another relationships to heal one another as we go forward. Philippians 2, 7, verse 8. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal death on a cross. I say to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. Did you get that? We've talked about this and we've talked about this. Watch your tongue when the ungodly are around you. Don't just join the conversation. We've got to really start reflecting Jesus. To help anyone to know God, you've got to reflect Jesus in how you treat people. It's not enough to say I go to church. There are 8 churches between my here and home, just 15 minutes drive, between 8 and 10 churches. So it's not enough to say you go to church. It's what's your life like? That's when people say, let me pay attention. Does that make sense? So watch about that. But humility is important. That's a good thing to have. And we're told, dominate, get over it. No, humble yourself before God and God will walk with you. Self-control is vital. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against such things. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, living at peace with everyone. Self-control is vital. You got to submit yourself to God and be controlled. Let's say you're expecting something today and it not come. Please sleep in peace because you have self-control. But if you let that, whatever it is, take over tonight, you're losing self-control. You haven't given that to God. If you are going through some issues at work, please give that to God and sleep well tonight. Amen. That's part of self-control. Amen? If you're not sure about how you're going to do X, Y, Z in your life, give that to God and wake up with a plan and start implementing and may God help you determine which way you go. Does that make sense? And all you college people, give it to God, but have a plan on how you're going to graduate. In other words, giving it to God is, I have a plan, let's see what happens, and I'm moving forward. Does that make sense? So whatever you do, self-control, give it to God. Does that make sense? If we don't give it to God, anxiety and all other things take over. Worry, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Every day has enough trouble of its own. When man tries to map out 10 years, and yes, you can have a plan for 10 years, but to try to control that, you worry and anxiety kicks you down. You got to learn to live today, in the moment, present, so that God may lead you to the next step. I'm going to go a bit fast because of our time here. Being right is not the same as doing what is right. How different is that? Let's talk about that. I'm coming to tail end, excuse me. Being right is not the same as doing what is right. How different is that? Talk to me. We can try something. Yes. Being right feels better than doing what's right. So how different is it? It just feels better, right?
It feels better for the moment, but then that always finds a way to let you see that being right has a higher price sometimes than doing what's right.
Being right has a higher price sometimes than doing what's right. Yes, Alan, then I'm coming to you. I see lose, 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 win, lose, lose. Lose, win, win, win.
As it just reminds me of some like evangelism, like stuff you run to coming out on campus I've ran into. There's been times when I've gone too far and tried to get too doctrinal with people. Where
yeah.
Just if I bounce the Bible talk and just kind of being loving, probably would have got to come out versus saying what I did. And then there's times when I was just loving the people and getting doctrinal. And I was like, yeah, I just love Bible talk. And I think it had the best result.
There's sometimes when he's evangelizing, he's been hot on, hey, we got to get them on the doctrine. But if he just loved them and brought them into a family group, it would have been much more effective. The doctrine is right. But because you're so saying what is right, doing what is right, and being, he wasn't getting the balance. So that's when people say, well, I'm not interested. Many hands are going up. Okay, we're going to go Tracy, Kyle, and then Maya, and yes, I can point you. Can't remember the name. Let's go. That's a good. Kyle? Wow. There was another hand. We're going from there. Yes, Maya. Wow. All right. We got to go, so here's the deal. Being right is not the same as doing what is right. It's very much what Tracy was us. And the scripture is, so don't both correct and a mocker. They will only hate you, but correct the wise and they will love you. When it's about being right, you can be proud and put people down. When doing what is right, you think about how will this help impact this other person? And that is a different place. It's not about you, it's about God and about helping them to know to come to a better place. If we can do that, growth happens within us, in our marriages, in one another, in the church, in helping people become disciples, and all goes well. And God bless you. It was good news. Have a great time.